Hello, everybody. What did you see? Sarah just made a weird face. Oh, the lights flicker a lot.
Yeah, I just thought maybe it was something spooky because we're recording
now.
Ooh,
yeah, they knew. Ooh. Welcome to Ghoul Society.
That's my big sister, Jamie.
And that's my little sister, Sarah. We are grateful to be recording on the unceded, stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations and the Lekwungen and Wasanich peoples whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society.
Can you believe we're halfway through October? I haven't done anything fun.
My heart.
I haven't gone to the pumpkin patch.
Me neither.
I haven't gone to the frickin'
Me neither.
Spooky walk.
Me neither.
Historic ghost. What is it called? Ghostly walk.
Oh.
I haven't watched any pick movies.
Me. Yes. I put my hand up.
Yes, Jimmy.
Well, I'm going on the ghost tour walk with Ghostly Walks on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
This foyer.
Wait, why couldn't I go?
At 7:30. I don't know.
Oh, Survivor night.
Oh. Boo. Boo.
I love my Survivor night. We're doing double feature because we didn't do one last week. So.
Oh, I love that for you guys.
Yeah.
If you hear clanging, crashing, banging in the background, it's because Bristol is making us dinner, so don't mind that.
Be fucking nice about it.
Yeah, be nice about it. And, you know, this is what I was going to say. It's a nice fall.
Yeah.
It's just getting cold. The mm-hmm. first frost was last night.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't notice. It's already so dark out when I get up.
Yeah. So I did notice because I was up very, very early today.
Oh.
Driving very early. Oh. For a very
that early?
Long time. Yeah. I picked up a friend because their car got messed up, and so I'm taking them to the same place, and so we're carpooling right now, but it means that I leave a little bit earlier, which is fine. I like the mornings. I feel like I'm good at getting up at 5. It feels good. Yeah. As long as I go to bed early. Mm-hmm. Like trying to get to sleep at like 8:30, between 8:30 and 9, then like I'm solid.
I mean, I did that last night and I woke up at 6 and that was such a great sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
so
oh,
good.
Shit. I'm supposed to be doing this every
every
night.
I know.
But it's also, 8:30 is like early.
Yeah.
But it's not.
I know. It's right on that cusp.
What do I do? So and I've just been watching Gravity Falls.
Yes.
Until I fall asleep.
And then there are people like staying up till like midnight.
Oh, yeah. I have a friend that stays up well past midnight, and then he just sleeps like on the weekend a lot.
That's crazy. I don't know how.
I don't know. Men do that a lot.
True. It's very true. If my man does that, he'd be dead.
Yeah.
He can't handle that. I was thinking about the corn maze. We have to go to the corn maze soon.
What corn maze? Oh, the one.
The corn maze. The only one that's in the town.
The Gailey Farms?
Yeah.
Oh.
The corn maze at Gailey Farms. Yeah, that's the one.
I haven't been to their corn maze.
It's really fun. There's a train. There's a train ride and a corn maze.
Well, last year, Montana and I tried to go to the pumpkin patch, and they were just, like, closed. And it said that they were open online, and they were closed.
That's annoying.
This is rude.
The other thing that I saw?
Haunted house. They have a.
They do have a scary haunted
like
house.
Like a scary one.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing it, but I don't know. I might pass out.
When is even the time to do that? When?
When? Like next weekend? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe next weekend. Corn maze. Spooky train.
Like a Saturday?
It's like I want to be haunted, but I also don't want to be that haunted. Yeah. It's just a bit much. I need a light haunted house.
Yeah, I mean, I just read The Omen.
Oh.
Yeah, because when I was
scary,
when I was home in the mall, they were selling these used books for like I don't know, the hospital or something. I don't know. They were doing charity classic stuff.
Okay, I'm laughing because, like, small town malls are the most ridiculous thing in the world.
And, you know, it was, like, by donation. So I got the Omen, and then I got the other three. Also, they're written by different people.
Oh.
The first one is
connected?
Yeah, the first one is written by this guy. I honestly don't remember their names. That's probably pretty mean. And then the second and third are by someone else, and then I think the fourth is by another person altogether.
Holy. Does John Grisham do any of them?
Mm-mm.
The classic.
No. Oh. But anyway, I read it, and I was like, yeah, this is spooky-ooky.
So spooky-ooky.
Do you know the, like, premise?
No. Well, does it have to do with exorcisms? Yeah, tell me.
I think later in the other books. So mm-hmm. The first book is just about this family and the, like, dad, like, the head of the household, whatever. He's an American ambassador in London.
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife has a kid. But spoiler alert, the monastery... She's having this kid in, like, a Roman religious hospital.
Okay.
And so she has this kid, but surprise, they kill it. The priests kill her kid because this...
It's a devil.
Because this jackal gives birth to this human child that is the devil's child. And so they kill... the human kid, and then they give them the devil's child, and they're like, okay. And so, but she didn't know, but the husband knew. They were like, oh, your child died after she gave birth from complications, but you can just take this child and never tell her. And so he does that.
Oh my God. Would you forgive your husband if he did that?
No. And then... Yeah, and then, like, so the first half of the book, you're just like, la-di-da, and then the frickin', he's like, oh, okay. And then his nursemaid, because this book was written in the early 2000s or something, I don't know. Anyway. So
why does it sound like 1800s?
I know.
So and then you nanny, say 2000s.
So his nanny,
yes,
at his birthday party, hangs herself.
Oh my God.
And then he gets this new nanny that turns out that she is like a devil worshiper.
Oh.
And you don't find that out until later.
Okay.
But she's like grooming him to be devil. Oh. The devil's devil reincarnate, kind I of. See. And then so the dad goes on all these adventures to try to, not really adventures, but he's like, I gotta find these people so that I can figure out how to, like, what's wrong with my child? And then they're like, you gotta kill him.
Oh my God.
And then at the end of the book, he tries to kill him. And then, but he does it, like, on the steps of a church. So then this guy, like, across the street calls the police. And then the police come and they shoot the dad.
Wow.
And the kid survives, and that's how the book ends.
So, okay.
And the mom died because the new nanny killed her.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, it's...
That's the whole story of The Omen.
The reason that I kind of am familiar with it is because of Good Omens, which, have you read or seen that?
No.
Okay, it has... like a similar-ish premise, but it's like a spin-off of it, and it's a comedy, and it's really good.
Oh yeah, okay.
It's so good. You gotta watch it. Anyway,
yeah, so it's like a 200-page book, and nice. I was just like, wow, this is I thought it was gonna be super, super scary,
mm-hmm.
but then it was like 2000 scary, you know?
Yeah.
I did kind of have a little bit of a nightmare. I did think that a demon child was coming for me.
Oh my God.
The other night. I was sleeping alone. I was scared.
You just can't watch the scary, read the scary, watch the scary. You can't do it when you're alone.
But I wasn't reading when I was alone.
Yeah, I know. But then you got to think about, I'm going to be alone.
Yeah.
I get it. It's hard. I also want to only watch scary things all the time. But I have to train my brain not to. I've actually been watching the playthrough of Silent Hill F.
What?
Which is like the most recent Silent Hill game that just came out.
How scary is it?
I don't find it that scary personally. It's based in Japan, and like the world, there's like kind of these zombie creatures, but they're not zombies. They're like humans have been turned into these dolls.
Oh.
And their bodies like twist and contort, and they move really fast, and that's the freaky part. And so you're like this girl going through the world now, but and it's also confusing and like very spiritual as well, and like a lot's going on. Anyway, it doesn't feel scary, but when I left my house this morning at 5:45 in the morning, and I went outside and it was pitch black, and I was walking to my truck,
you're scared.
I looked behind me and I was like, what if one of those things was there? And then I said, I shouldn't think that way. So I've been watching a bit too much of that, but I know. Anyway, are you ready?
Yeah, what? You have a long story.
It's a long story, so buckle the heck
long
up.
Long story short, it wasn't that time.
Oh my god, have you been listening to the new T-Swizzy album?
Yeah, of course I have.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Why?
I was just curious.
Listen, if you hate it, no you don't. But also, if you hate it, I understand. And that is the album.
Sarah respects it. Okay. Interesting that you were talking about exorcism, Sarah. This is a spooky house. It's a scary house.
Good thing Montana's home tonight.
Good thing. Because most of my research came from YouTube, the good old YouTube. And most of the research from the YouTuber came from the book that the lady who had these experiences wrote. She wrote this book.
Okay.
Our story begins in the early 1970s with Clara and Phil Dandy and their children, Mike, Beth, Laura, and Mary. And they began their family in Buffalo, New York, on the lands of the Haudenosaunee and the Algonquin peoples. So Clara, the mom, she was raised as a devout Catholic, and Phil was not. He did eventually convert, but their relationship was rocky and tumultuous because of this. However, in 1967, they took a small trip to a small cabin in the countryside, and here she said that everyone was able to kind of relax. So she saw the family enjoy themselves. Her and Phil's kind of rocky relationship smoothed out a little bit. Everyone felt very like one with nature kind of vibe, you know?
Beautiful.
Yeah, they had a lovely time in this cabin. And when they had to leave the vacation, the family was actually dreading going back to the city. So once they got back, they started looking for a cabin to get away to whenever they wanted. And then they found one in Cuba, New York. Not Cuba, Cuba.
There's a Cuba,
you New York. New York. Yes.
It's been a long day.
Yes, it has. We are recording at night. We never record at night. So
cool,
it's
society
kind of like
at
a
night.
Yeah. I've been wanting to rewatch Community. Everything's falling apart.
At night.
At night. So they got this cabin, right? I'm sorry, I realize I didn't talk much about Clara's like childhood raising. It doesn't matter that much. The most important thing is like she was raised super Catholic. Phil was not. It was tumultuous. Their relationship was like not that good the whole time, because that's also very 70s of them.
Yeah, so that's like a conversation you gotta have ahead of time. You can't, you know,
I know.
People have the same thing when they get married and then they're like, wait, you don't want to have kids? And then the other one's like, wait, you do want to have kids? Why aren't you having these conversations?
Yeah, I know.
Like, hello?
Hello? Like, get it together, people. Anyways, so eventually Phil stopped going with them to the cabin, and Claire decided they actually needed a permanent getaway, quote, house. AKA
so
a house in the countryside.
Oh. I thought that
she's
meant
like,
she's
bye.
Leaving him.
No, she's a devout Catholic. She would never divorce her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so the farmhouse that they found was situated in Hinsdale, New York. And it was actually sold to them by the lady who owned the cabin that they took their first trip to. Ooh. She was like, listen, honey, I got this beautiful cabin up in Hinsdale, New York, and I'll sell it to you. And Claire was like, okay, that would be lovely. That's probably how the conversation went.
actually, I think it went, hey, do you want to buy this haunted house?
No, it wasn't haunted at the time. Or something. I don't know. I'm confused.
Who's going to die in this house that makes it haunted?
The house was beautiful. It sat on
All are. I think that's a requirement for a haunted house.
Must be beautiful.
And haunted.
It sat on 8 acres of land, and it had a pond, and it was like this single-story house that was connected to a double-story. So like the single-story area had a kitchen and stuff, and which went into the living room, and then above the living room were bedrooms. There was also a bathroom downstairs, and I think an additional bedroom downstairs as well. Mm-hmm. There was also, like, you'd go up the stairs, and right at the top of the stairs, there was a small attic crawl space for storage.
Fuck that. Fuck that shit. Fuck all attic crawl spaces.
But it was kind of a weird space because, like, it was a triangle in there, and there was a chimney. Yeah. Like, a really well-finished, beautiful chimney. Like, nicely done. Anyway, so it was kind of weird to, like, put stuff up there. But there was also a root cellar under the house, which you could only access through a door in the main bathroom. Because the bathroom used to be part of the kitchen. It was like a pantry.
Yeah.
And then it was turned into a bathroom. But they didn't turn it into a bathroom. It was already turned.
I really hate this because some spook ass shit is going to happen in those spaces. Why else would you be mentioning them?
I know. And so also the walls in the crawl space, they were just like rough stone. Like stacked stone, and the floor was dirt. I just hate when you see what's under a house. I just don't like that.
Yeah, it's fucking creepy.
It's very creepy.
How about let's not keep doing that?
Like, I don't want to know what the basement suite looked like before it was turned into this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't show that to me.
Yeah, that's good.
Gross.
Thanks, gross.
So the family moved back and forth, the Dandy family, between Buffalo and Hinsdale, slowly moving their items. And this is when the first weird things began to happen. They started having car troubles anytime they were near the house. The radiator would overheat on multiple different trips. Sometimes their car wouldn't start. And later when friends and family would visit, their vehicles would also end up having issues anytime anyone was at the house. So immediately they were like, this is kind of weird. We've had this car.
The spirit's lonely. It doesn't want them to leave.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
It's just a lonely spirit.
It's a lonely spirit.
It wants to be their friend.
On the day they finally settled at Hinsdale, the entire house was covered in bees to the point where it was impossible to see out of the windows.
At least it wasn't black flies.
Yeah, but it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Which means, like, there's, like, evil presences at the house.
Has The Conjuring House sold yet? Or is that later this month?
I don't know.
I think that's on Halloween.
That's crazy. It's being sold
in foreclosure.
What?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Because they couldn't keep paying for it.
I guess.
Because those two were fakes.
I don't even know anymore. I don't even give a shit. You know?
This is the haunted house drama.
Yeah, haunted house drama.
Seriously. It would be crazy if someone bought it and then they were just like, I'm just gonna live here and this is my house. No more tours, no more bullshit. Everyone go.
That makes me want to cry for some reason.
Okay,
as
listen.
As in, like, I'm scared for that person.
I know.
Because it could happen.
It could happen.
Ew.
But they would know. Like, they would know. They would have to do it willingly.
They would have to be, like, a Shaniac.
He's so true.
And just be like, this is my
Shane
house, bro.
Shane should buy the house.
He should.
I bet Sam and Colby are going to buy it. Is it being bid on? How is it?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. They probably will. Because they own that school now.
I call it. Call it.
Yeah. That's part of their hell month, probably.
Oh, bro.
Hey, guys, welcome back to our channel.
What's up, YouTube? It's Sam and Cole. Okay.
We've been wanting to buy The Conjuring House for years.
We love you, Sam and Colby.
We love you, Sam and Colby.
We have to get through this story because it's really long. And we're just at the very beginning. So, blah, 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 bees. Clara was like, okay, brother and mom, can you guys go to the house? And they're like, sure. They had to push through a wall of bees to get in and call an exterminator.
Why would you even go in?
Just because I had to call the exterminator.
Just go to a neighbor's house.
They don't even know the neighbors at this point.
Go home then. You have two homes.
No,
go
back. No, this was the final day. Like they were like they were settling in on this day.
But wait, what year is it?
1970.
Okay, well, they would go to the fucking neighbors.
I don't know. So the exterminator arrives. He sprays the house, even though he told them it was the weirdest thing that he had ever seen. And this problem didn't go away for months.
Was it, like, actually, like, top to bottom fully covered in bees?
Apparently. And also, there is apparently honey dripping from the ceiling of the house.
Yeah, I bet.
People who visit the house today still see swarms of bees and flies all around.
The devil.
Like we said, yeah, it's connected with high levels of supernatural activity.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely, weird things kept happening in and around the Hinsdale home. The family dog would start bringing bones back to the house from around the property, which could not be identified.
Like human bones?
Well, so these were large bones that didn't look like animal bones. However, Clara decided to throw them away instead of keeping them for testing, which she later really, really regrets.
Yeah, so I bet.
Don't forget this.
That also would make the spirits more back. Fucking angry.
Yes.
Girl.
Through time, the kids would constantly get hurt in the house and around the property, as if the family all of a sudden became extremely clumsy. So they would like bump into things and break bones and all of this kind of stuff. They believe that this was actually the result of a force who was trying to manipulate and injure them, not that the family was actually becoming clumsy.
Right.
One weekend, Claire was in the house doing her work, keeping the kids alive and the house clean, when she heard gunshots from outside.
Oh, no.
She thought nothing of it until the neighbor called her on the phone. Now, this neighbor had three kids around the same age as Mike, Beth, Laura, and Mary, and they often played together. On this day in particular, they were playing in a nearby field, and they had apparently been shot at by an unseen person.
What?
After being shot at, they army crawled their way out of the field to the nearest house to report it, which is then when they called Clara.
No way.
Yeah. So Clara called the cops and reported it, but it was never resolved who shot at the kids. However, the kids told Clara about a local ghost legend. At a certain time of day, they said that they could see a ghost man walking down McMahon Road and sometimes, like, maybe carrying a gun, maybe shooting.
What the fuck? Who knows? A ghost shot at them?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Apparently.
What kind of world do we freaking live in?
A few days later, one of Clara's sons, Mike, Claire's only son, saw the ghost man, even though he didn't believe what he saw. So he sees the man. Mike's like, he's with his friends, and his friends are like, that's ghost man. And Mike's like, fuck off, no it's not. And so Mike begins running after the man, and once he's about 6 feet behind him, the man stepped behind a tree and just vanished.
Oh, no, that gave me chills. I really hate that.
If that gave you chills, you better bundle up, baby, because it's gonna get crazy.
I'm scared.
Over the winter time, the pipes in the Hinsdale house froze, and they ended up having to haul water from that pond that I had mentioned.
Listen, you gotta figure it out, people. Come on.
This is classic rural life.
Classic move from a city to rural, and you don't know what the fuck you're doing. You, like, probably bought some land, and you're like, I'm gonna be a farmer.
I love it.
No, you're...
I know, it's the romanticization of it all. I know.
But it's actually really fucking annoying sometimes to live in a rural area.
Yeah, is fucking annoying. It's really annoying.
Yeah, so stop romanticizing it.
So think about it more deeply, okay? So they're hauling water from the pond, and one day, as they're walking through the silent winter snow, Clara sees... Sarah and I just finished dinner, so now we are all fueled up and ready to continue the story.
Yeah, yeah! Thanks, Bristol.
So they're walking through the snow. It's silent. It's winter. And then Clara sees a round disc in the sky, moving quickly, but making no sound. The family stood there together watching it until it suddenly flew away. Strangely, a year later, also in the winter months, they awoke in the middle of the night to a light blasting in through every window of the house, as if the house was being lit from above. Clara rushed to the window and claims that she saw the same orb-like disc that she spotted in the sky the winter before, heading away from the house silently. A few days later in the paper, there were multiple reports of people seeing flying saucers in the area. So that's a weird little UFO moment. As time went on, Phil became significantly more withdrawn from the family. So you won't hear about him much in this story. It's mainly Clara and the kids. And he would actually spend more time in Buffalo, only coming back to Hinsdale on the weekends. Emotions were often heightened, the marriage suffered, and the family accidents continued. There were countless car accidents with Phil or Clara individually, as well as the kids as they got older, especially Mike. Oh my. Additionally, much like the car troubles from earlier, when people visited the house, they would sometimes get in an accident after leaving or their car would break down.
Oh.
As well, the family pets started dying off one by one in different strange ways, and these pets would not be the last that the family lost, as they continued to get more pets, and those continued to die under weird circumstances. It seemed like the house was cursed, and anything bad that could happen did happen. But things weren't only happening inside the house. One day, Claire took the family dog for a walk up the back part of the property, where the property meets a campground, which used to be part of the Hinsdale property.
Mm-hmm.
Upon reaching the top of the hill, the Dobbs...
The Dobbs started...
The dog stopped dead in its tracks and perked up its ears as if listening to something intently. Clara stopped and listened as well and started hearing singing throughout the forest.
Oh.
The singing was so real and so audible that she imagined that they would come across a group of people singing in the forest. But as they continued upward, the singing got louder, but once they crossed over the hill, the singing just stopped. She thought it was strange, but they continued their walk anyway.
I don't like this story.
When they headed back home a while later, Claire could hear the singing again at the top of the hill, and again it stopped once they descended. She told her family about the music she heard in the hills and described this singing as Gregorian chanting. Her son Mike laughed and said, "No." No, you didn't.
Okay, fuck off, Mike.
But the daughters were super interested. So the next night, Clara, the daughters, the neighbor girl, and the dogs ventured into the woods the Dobbs, at twilight. When they reached...
Why would you go back? What the fuck, Clara?
Because she's trying to be like, do you guys hear this too, or am I going crazy?
Both.
So they reached the top of the hill, the same spot, and the chanting could be heard again, and everyone could hear it. The Dobbs, the girls, the Dobbs, the dogs, and the gals. And upon their way back to the house, the chanting suddenly stopped again. And 30 seconds later, one single male voice could be heard singing a prayer. So the gals all looked at each other, and they ran back to the house. Back at the house again, Mike, he decided that maybe he should actually go check it out and not just laugh at them.
No, Mike.
He didn't go alone. Okay. He enlisted his friend to help him.
But just two of them?
Yeah, just the two of them. So they're feeling brave. No Dobbs this time. The Dobbs have had enough of the singing. So the boys are feeling brave. They're walking up to the hill until... Oh my God. They both hear an extremely high-pitched woman's scream. They're like, we're noping right out of the here. Like, fucking way.
Yeah, get out of there, boys. So
they run back to the house, and this was the last time that the family intentionally went up to the hills to hear the singing. By summer...
Do you think there was, like, a sacrifice or something?
I don't know.
Or, like...
I think it was, like... What's it called when it's a repetitive... like haunting, you know. Listen, you guys know it. You're saying it. You're yelling it at us now. What? Did you hear a buzzing?
Yeah, I can really hear it.
Oh, yeah, that just happens sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, like yes. A replay?
Yes, yeah, essentially. Some party replay, miss the music, won't you turn the music up, oh, yeah. On the dance floor, wanting some more. Come, Mr. DJ, won't you turn the music up?
Goes my mind. We're
gonna get too. Okay, I also hear the buzzing. Anyway, anywho. By summer 1973, so this is 3 years into living at the house, things ramped up more than the family could ever be prepared for. One day, Claire was alone in the house reading a book on the couch. Don't read books alone in the house. On the
that's
couch.
All I do,
I was
bro.
Just picturing you.
No!
When she heard the sound.
I don't like it. Stop! Don't tell me.
She heard the sound of falling papers. She thought maybe the stack of newspapers she left on the porch had fallen over. But when she went and checked on them, they were just where she had left them earlier. So she searched around the house, but she found nothing. So Claire went back to reading her book, when suddenly the window in front of her slammed shut, or at least she heard the sound of it slam. But the window was still wide open, and no other windows in the house closed either. So weird noises are happening. Nothing's really making sense.
Okay.
They're singing in the woods. Dogs are dying. People are getting in accidents. The marriage is falling apart. A few days later...
I don't like that story.
Claire... Okay, I was really scared writing this story, so that's why you have to be here with me now. Clara was with Beth and Mike in the house, and that night they all went to bed around 11 p.m.
That's fucking late, bro.
I know.
Why are you people going to bed at 11?
I know.
Like, in general, because so many people go to bed at 11. Do you not wake up at, like, 6?
Some people don't need that much sleep.
You do. Your brain does.
Yes.
Like, you science still do. Says you need sleep.
You need sleep. 8 to 9 hours of sleep. I don't care. If you're used to it, you're just used to it. It doesn't mean that you don't need it. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, your brain will suffer one day for that. So.
That's right. Wow, that Sarah's mind. Really giving it to him today. So Clara was woken up at 3:30 a.m. from a shrill scream.
No, not 3:30.
3:30. Also, by the way, just so you know, I wake up at 3 a.m. all the time. Literally all the fucking time. The other night, I woke up at like 2:57. That's usually how it happens.
Well, clearly I'm someone's like, trying okay. to freaking talk to you, so...
Yeah, so I go pee, because that's a problem, is I usually have to pee in the middle of the night.
But it's at 3 o'clock all the time?
Yes. And then I come back to bed, and I'm like, I'm just going to ignore the fact that it's 3 o'clock. But it's taking me some time to fall asleep. And then I hear...
No, you don't.
Yes.
No, you fucking don't hear
it. I hear this. I'm not fucking kidding. Okay, I want to cry now that I'm telling you. I hear two taps.
And
I'm
like, every time?
No. No. This was just the other night.
Like, coming from upstairs or from no, in like, your room?
Somewhere here.
Like, you're in bed and they happen over there?
Yes.
Sleep in the other one.
Don't sleep in here anymore. I know, but I've spent a long time making this room.
Yeah.
A good energetic space. Uh-huh. It was a bad energetic space when I first mm-hmm. moved in here. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I spend a lot of time being like, I am light, I am love, my light extends, mm-hmm. and no one can disrupt my light force field. And I spend a lot of fucking time doing that.
Could it be?
It could have been anything.
What is against that wall? Dirt, right?
Yes. So this is my theory.
A mole.
Yeah. A mole, but, you know, my other theory is that there's bones in the dirt.
The likelihood of that are kind of high, so probably.
Yes. Anywho, I feel like I have enough, like, spirits that are keeping me safe that it's, like, fine.
Yeah.
Me and whoever is around, we have a pact. I tell them, they know, don't disrupt my sleep.
But they do it. All the time.
I know, but I don't know if it's them or if I just have to pee. It's probably a mix of both. I'm probably going to wake up tonight now at 3 a.m. because we're talking about it too much.
I'm probably going to do it too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get really, when I get really scared at night.
Yeah.
I like force Montana to, I like wake him up and I'm like, I need you to cuddle me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like I'm a fucking child. Calling my mommy into the bedroom because I can't sleep unless I'm being held.
Are we watching too much scary stuff?
Yes. We know.
Will we stop?
No.
Okay, so she hears a scream, right? She runs downstairs, she checks on the kids, and she finds Beth laying on her back with her hands pressed to her eyes, and she's shaking in fear. Beth told her that she had gotten up to get a drink of water. Classic. And when she got back into bed, something had jumped on her stomach. Beth thought it was a cat, but it went for her face, and when she smacked it away, there was no sound of the cat landing on the floor. So she hits this thing. It's furry. She feels it.
I'm gonna cry. I'm literally crying.
But it just vanished.
I'm so scared.
It vanished. I know. I told you I was hitting you with a big one. It's also because we're recording at night. That's a problem. I think we just do one story tonight. Anyways, so both the family cats had been upstairs when this happened. The next day, they found something outside by the door of Beth's bedroom. It was like a green slimy substance on the floor.
Ectoplasm?
Yeah. And Clara remembered that she had actually found something like this in the house before, during the previous spring, when something similar had happened, where Beth woke up and screamed, thinking that something was in her room, and the next morning, the green slimy substance was there on the floor in front of the door.
Something was in her room.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
After all of that kerfuffle, the next morning, Claire noticed the bedside lamp in Mary's room was shattered on the floor. As she was cleaning it up, Claire saw a playing card on the floor, the Ace of Spades, classic, and so she picked it up and tucked it under her alarm clock in her own room. So now it's in Claire's room. However, the next morning, this card had vanished from Claire's room and was refound in Mary's bedroom instead. The same morning, Beth woke up with a mysterious burn on her leg, and Mike also admitted that he too had woken up with a burn on his leg last week, but his didn't hurt and it faded quickly, so he didn't mention anything about it. But Mary ended up developing a scar from her burn.
A burn?
Yeah. Yep, a burn. So,
what?
Really often, as the family slept upstairs, they would hear the heavy sound of booted footsteps, like footsteps with heavy boots on the main floor of the house. Items started falling from shelves that shouldn't fall, and the general atmosphere of the house was feeling terrible.
Why is it just getting so bad? It's so bad. Like, why is it worsening?
Well, okay, what's a couple going on things. In your house? One, anytime you have like intense, tumultuous relationships happening.
Yeah, the energy.
Yeah, you're stirring up some bad energy.
Yeah.
Two, teenagers.
Right.
Really bring the fucking crazy energy. Mm-hmm. So it could be that too. Or these people are all fucking crazy and it's fake.
Right.
Like that is also a theory, you know? Who knows? Maybe they did it for money. Like that happen in so many of these.
Yeah,
like Amityville horror.
Yeah,
right, that's one. What is that
I
one?
Think so.
Is that the one? Or yeah. Is that the Axe? No, that's Visalia Axe House. Anyway,
yeah,
anytime there's like an exorcism story, it's always actually Enfield, just fake,
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Enfield Poltergeist.
Yeah, exactly. So Clara's mother had a friend who was actually a priest, and his name was Father Bob. So she called Bob.
They were just friends. Bob. You do house calls, Bob?
House calls? Wheat woo. She calls Bob and she's like, hey, can you come bless the house? And he's like, sure. So he arrives on July 10th. He walks around the house and he blesses the whole house. But as he left, he told her, I don't know if I did you any good, but it doesn't do you any harm to bless the house. So he's like,
he didn't even believe in himself.
No, he's like, I don't know if I did anything for you, but it don't do any harm. So here you go.
Bob.
I know, Bob. Come on. Get it together.
Do it right the first time, bro.
Yeah, because after this, there's actually worse. More acting
yeah.
than before.
Yeah, of course, because he didn't expel anything out.
No, he's just like...
Mm-hmm. You can't just cover something awful with something nice.
No.
You've got to work through it first.
That's a good analogy for life.
Yeah.
So the house would get extremely cold in the middle of summer. There was knocking sounds coming from everywhere. A screen porch was found shredded, and things were dragged around at night. Like, they could be heard being dragged on the floor.
Ugh.
Friends of the kids would often spend sleepless nights listening to all the commotion happening in the house when they had sleepovers there.
Bro, I would never sleep. Why are they... Like, after the first one, I'd be like...
I'd call mom immediately.
Yeah, I'd be like, you're gonna sleep over at my house or we're not having sleepovers?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I don't know how they kept...
Why are you still sleeping over after experiencing that?
They're just like, it's chill. The ghosts are chill. Once, Mary and Susan, two sisters, had been swimming in the pond. See, I don't remember Susan being one of the sisters, but let's just go with it. Okay, Mary and Susan are swimming in the pond when they see a woman dancing on the land by the edge of the pond. One girl described this woman as having teeth like a rabbit, while the other one said she had long pointed teeth. But both girls agreed she was spinning and dancing before disappearing in the tall grass.
Is so this the pond that Sam went into yes. the boat on? Yes.
So here's okay. the thing about the spirits, like when they see them, often they'll see different versions.
Right.
Like one person will see something and another person will see something else, yeah. which is really weird because usually you'll see the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Through time, Mary refused to sleep in her room as it was the most unbearable to be in. And when...
That bad?
Yeah, that bad. And when people would go in there... Even, like, to this day, they experience intense pressure on their temples and ears, sounds of knocking, furniture being moved from all over the house, and the sound of the bed creaking as if someone was sitting down on it.
Oh.
Then, the family started feeling like Laura was no longer herself.
Oh, shit.
Remember the incident at the pond with Mary and Susan? Laura was also there, but she didn't see the woman. However, she made a statement saying, quote, maybe the woman had been hanged because her eyes were bulging out of her head. So
you did see her?
She didn't see her, but she somehow saw her in her mind or something. Also, Laura was
an odd thing to say.
Super weird. She says something else weird. So she was constantly making claims. This is really sad, and this could have been happening, so okay. Trigger warning. But she was constantly making claims that people were molesting her.
Oh, no.
And when the family questioned her about this, they had the feeling that Laura wasn't in there. Like, it wasn't Laura. Like, her eyes would change a different color.
Oh, no.
They thought she was possessed by something. She would answer their questions with old-timey language and speak in tones that she never used before. So they thought like one of the spirits were
possessed?
Like, yeah, she thought one of the spirits of the house was like taking her over.
Oh no.
One time she was swimming in the pond with Clara's friend. So like an adult woman.
Yeah, okay.
And this friend warned her not to swim out too far. And in response to this, Laura said, it's okay. I know I'm going to die young and it doesn't matter because I've seen everything anyway.
Oh, no.
Isn't that so weird?
Yeah. Also, that's so sad.
Like, yeah. Spoiler alert, Laura doesn't die super young, but she does... Well, she dies, like, in her 30s.
Oh, no.
So, like, after she moves out of this house later on in life, she moves to somewhere else and she ends up passing away.
Oh, my.
So she kind of called it. The family...
I'm concerned.
Yeah. The family is obviously getting fed up, so they call in a psychic, who, of course, had car troubles upon his arrival. When the psychic arrived, named Wally... Whaley? Wally?
Wally!
I don't remember. Let's go with Whaley. He said there was a full family of spirits living in the house who disapproved of how loud and chaotic the house had become since the Dandies moved in. Before meeting Laura, Whaley informed her parents that Laura was being impacted by the spirits of the house and that she needed to be moved out of the house immediately. Mm-hmm. So they send Laura and Mary away with their grandparents for the next 10 days. But summer was coming to an end and school was beginning, so they had to come back, unfortunately. Fuck. As soon as they were back, Laura began reporting the incidents of harassment from, this time from unseen sources. She would feel something touching her in the middle of the night, things would swing in her room, and she was having a super challenging time sleeping. One night, Laura got up to use the washroom, and she noticed a red glow coming from downstairs.
Nope.
She went down anyway and saw that all the burners on the stove had been turned on.
Oh my God.
And were making a red hot glow in the whole house. However, nobody turned them on. So they're
like, are we sure someone's not sleepwalking?
Maybe.
This is the scariest house ever.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I saw a glowing, like, fire when I was camping? I was camping in this, like, really fucking terrifying area. Not my choice.
Oh, was that when you had sleep paralysis?
It wasn't sleep paralysis, but it kind of was. Mm-hmm. But, like, I woke up. I went to sleep. I was having my, like, shaking thing. Yeah. I fell asleep. And then I woke up and I, like, looked. But we were in a tent. But I, like, saw this red glow outside the tent. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's that red glowing thing? Mm-hmm. And I, like, scared the shit out of the person that was with me.
Yeah.
But then, like, I actually woke up and nothing was there. But it was like, I was just seeing things that were there. Because sometimes I get that when I'm sleeping, too.
Yeah. I'm anyways. So scared to go back home.
No! But Montana's home, right?
Not until later.
What time?
Like 8:39.
Okay, well, it's okay.
You're going to be okay. I just walk to my car.
Okay, I'll walk you to your car.
Okay.
Okay. So eventually, Clara stumbled upon Father Alphonsus and requested his help. Another, what's it called?
Priest?
Priest, thank you.
Is he going to do good this time instead of being like, well?
Yes. Father Al believed their stories after hearing Clara, like,
slay.
Yeah. And he came to the house a few times to check it out. One night, he said mass on the kitchen table and said a simple exorcism, believing that he carried the host around the house and grounds. I don't really understand that, but apparently he was, like, he thought the host was, like, going around with him.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And so, I get it. He's, like, doing the exorcism on the house and the area, and he thought that he took the spirits with him, but unfortunately, the activity continued. Mm. One day, a while later, Phil was at the house with the rest of the family.
Freaking Phil.
He still thought they were just making stuff up. Of course. Though they did see how scared they were. When Phil tried to leave for work, he felt like he was being called into the forest, so he started heading in that direction, with Clara following behind him to get him to ignore it. When finally she got him to ignore it, as they headed back toward the home, Clara spotted a strange little girl in the window of Beth's room, kneeling near Beth's dresser.
No!
But she knew this wasn't any of her own kids.
No!
At the same time that all of this was happening, Beth and her boyfriend, Jeff, walk up to Clara and Phil and tell them that they were sitting on the front porch and a person dressed in white had run past them, so they wanted to check and see if they knew who it was. So three things were happening at once. One, being lured into the forest. Two, little gal in the room. Three, someone running outside past the house.
No.
Phil believed it was probably someone just messing with them, right? Like, this is too much. This is too much stuff. Phil's
like, that's like beyond criminal to mess with someone that fucking bad that you're just breaking into their house whenever the fuck you feel like it.
I know.
Just to be like, oh, I'm gonna scare them.
Yeah. So he thinks it's an intruder. So they look around the yard. This is a weird, like, I don't know why they do this, but they decide to use the light from Jeff's motorcycle to look around the yard. Maybe they didn't have a big enough flashlight.
Okay.
Anyway, so it's getting dark out. They're using Jeff's motorcycle. Mary and Beth look into Mary's room. So now Mary and Beth are outside.
Don't look into the house. And this is the
upstairs room. So the little girl was seen in the downstairs room. They look in the upstairs room from outside, and they see someone else staring at her through the window. So Mary screams, and all of them run into the house terrified. They run into the
girls,
house.
Girls! No!
Everyone. I know.
Guys!
They find the house in a different state from when they had left it. All the lights that were on were off, and the door to the root cellar was flung open, even though they had it bolted closed.
There's bones in that root cellar.
I think so. I think you're right, actually. I do remember that. So everyone kept searching the property, trying to find if anyone was trespassing, but they found nothing. Back in the house, Beth screams again as she found the same strawberry blonde little girl sitting on her bed, followed by Phil running down the stairs telling the family that now all the lights were out. So they were on, then they were off, then they were on, then they were off. Right before this...
What is this girl doing? She's just sitting there?
She's just sitting. She's one of the spirits of the house. She lives there.
Yeah, but she's just sitting and staring into the hallway waiting for them to walk in, or...
I guess so. Is she mean? No.
She's just chilling?
She's chilling.
Oh, okay.
She's just chilling. She's just like, hee-hee.
Stop being so creepy.
I know. So, right before all this happened, Phil decided to open... Okay.
Phil! Come on, bro.
This one is even scarier. I know it's scary, but it gets a little scarier. So, Phil decides, he's like... I'm opening the crawl space door at the top of the stairs because there must be an intruder in there. He's like, we got to check every nook and cranny of this house. I'm opening the door.
Phil!
And he saw that the chimney of the house, which used to be in perfect condition, had been taken apart brick by brick by brick, and all the bricks were placed near the side of the crawl space room. When Beth saw this, she literally starts crying her face off because Beth had been saying for weeks that she was hearing things in the crawl space, things being dragged and moved around, the door opening and closing. So at this point, she realized that she was hearing something real that was happening.
Do you know? I can't even talk. I'm so scared. You know what that reminds me of, though?
What?
That episode of Scooby-Doo and the Globetrotters.
Yeah.
When they go to the island. And there's those, like, hands that are just moving shit around they're sleeping. It's giving that. That's the vibe. That's
exactly what's happening. Yeah.
Scary. So,
that's terrifying. Claire's, like, gets on the phone and she's like, Father Al, you need to come the fuck back here right now.
Yeah. Father, help, please.
Yeah. So, when he walks in the door, the family is huddled together in the middle of the living room, literally terrified.
Yeah.
Phil took Father Al around the house and the property, and when they were outside, they find a girl in white walking alongside the path by the pond. So this could have been the same girl that
ran in front of the house earlier?
Yes, and that the other two kids saw dancing at the pond.
Oh, okay.
Could all be the same.
Okay.
That night, no one wanted to sleep, so Phil and Al stayed up all night while the others got some rest.
Damn. Okay, Phil, you get half a point.
I know.
For that.
The next morning, her purse had been missing for a while.
Why did the spirits want her purse? What are they going to do with it?
Yeah, so the spirits had been stealing money as well.
Spirits.
And so the next morning, Clara finds her purse that had been missing, but money was gone from it. And apparently, Father Al told them that spirits will do this to try to make the family turn on each other.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is, like, kind of crazy.
Damn, super spirits crazy. Are diabolical. These ones are crazy. They're crazy. They just want this family out of their house.
Yeah, they're like, this is our house. We don't want to share it.
Also, why were they taking apart the chimney?
I don't know.
Why did the spirits do that?
I don't know. I think to try to killed them.
Yeah. So, like, if they had a fire,
the smoke would just go, like, all in the house. That's the other thing. Yeah. I'm like, wouldn't they know?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they know? I don't know.
Also, Matt, what it's was just her too, who it's was too it, much. Beth?
Yeah.
She probably felt so, like, vindicated. Yeah. She was probably like, I fucking told you guys that I've been hearing other shit that we, other than we normally hear.
Yeah.
In the crawl space. Yes. And none of you believed me.
I know.
Creepy.
So many, many things continued each day along these same lines. The activity was getting worse and more intense than ever before. And Father Al decides to bring in a medium named Alex, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I don't remember. Maybe I wrote it down. Maybe I didn't.
I think that the psychic should come back. And the psychic, the medium, and Father Al all need to be there at the same time. And, yes, like, do an exorcism together.
Yeah, I agree. So the medium tells them that many murders and deaths had taken place on the property, which started over 100 years ago, and that there were graves nearby that had been disturbed. Do you remember the dog at the very beginning of the story? This medium told them that before they were buried, these people or bodies were kept in the crawl space. And when he entered this area, he said that he saw bodies stacked like firewood down there.
No!
So there is
this house a fucking morgue?
There was a thought that the house used to be an inn, and the two brothers that owned the inn
were murderers?
Yes. Would rob travelers and kill them and keep the bodies in the basement.
Dang, that's
especially in the winter, because the ground was frozen, so they couldn't bury the bodies, so they kept the bodies in the basement.
I feel like that's happened quite a few times.
In the world? Yeah.
Yeah, like, what? Like, serial killers in, like, the 1800s used to be like,
yeah,
what if we just have an inn, and then we kill everybody, and then no one's gonna know no what happened?
No one's
gonna know.
No one's gonna miss them. How are they gonna know? No one's How will gonna they know? Know. How will they know?
They won't.
They can't. No. There's one more spirit as well who had not been connected to the murders, an old woman who died around 90 years old. And this was actually confirmed that the 90-year-old lady had lived at the house before they bought it.
Did she die in the house?
Damn. Yes, and she had died there. A few months later.
Is she being mean or is she just there vibing?
She's just there vibing.
Oh, well, she.
I wonder if she was the one that was taking over Laura, though. Yeah, creepy. I don't know. Yeah. A few months later, Father Al and Alex, the medium, it is Alex.
Oh, they're teaming up.
They return to the Hinsdale house with film students from New York who are planning to make a documentary about the events.
What? Fuck so, off.
They all did another exorcism on the house, and everyone there, so like the family and Alex and Al, they all knelt in the center of the living room floor. And starting with Alex, he drew all the negative powers into him and dispelled them. Then Al performed a religious rite. So this is their exorcism. When the family tried to rise, like stand up, nobody could stand up. They were all just like wobbling and their legs were wobbly and they couldn't stand up at all. During the exorcism, apparently there were screams and groans coming from outside the house.
Oh.
However, for months, nothing else happened after this.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Imagine how quiet that must have been.
Creepier.
They probably would have been like,
this is worse. What the fuck? Yeah, literally. Until July.
Oh, the summer.
Everyone was out of the house except Phil, who needed to get changed for his daughter's bridal shower. So he ran up the stairs and he stops abruptly when he sees a book floating in midair in one of the bedrooms.
No!
A few days later, Laura was harassed at night and Clara was finding herself paralyzed in bed with this paralysis happening multiple times in the night.
Oh, fuck.
As things continued in the house on the paranormal side, non-paranormal things were also super challenging. Clara and Phil had to claim bankruptcy, and nobody would purchase the house because they were very open about the hauntings that were going on. So they want to get out of the house. They can't. They can't afford to get out of the house. No yeah. one's buying it. So they send the kids to go stay with the grandparents. And then Clara and Phil were left alone in the house.
Oh, no.
Super randomly, a car pulled up to the house, and Phil tried to go see the car or like who it was, but when he went and looked out the window, nothing was there, even though he also heard the door of the car slamming. This happened 6 more times until Clara told him to just fucking ignore it. 6 times in one
Holy
night.
Holy shit.
Once they finally tried to go back to sleep, they heard a Chinese gong ringing in what? The cellar of the house.
No.
Phil races downstairs, but he sees nothing. This was followed by a baby crying, bells, sounds of a siren, and again the gong going off. Eventually, they ignored the noises. Some way in hell.
Is there just like a hidden speaker in their house or something?
Maybe. Except it's the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's still speakers, but there's not like Bluetooth shit. So eventually, yeah. somehow, they ignore the noises. And then the noises stop, and all they're left with was the sound of the usual footsteps in the house. So this was in July.
I don't know what's worse. Footsteps or like...
loud sounds?
Bells.
I know. A few months later, on October 17th, oh my god, that's 2 days from today. 1974.
No, I'm scared.
Phil and Clara Dandy drove away from the house with no plans to ever return. The Dandy house today still stands and was purchased by someone to prevent demolition. They run ghost tours, and you can rent the whole house out for the night to conduct your own ghost hunt if you so desire.
I'm so scared.
The spirits of the Dandy house are still alive and well, and that is the story of the Dandy family and the hauntings of the Hinsdale house. Happy Spooktober, Sarah.
That was the scariest story I've ever heard in my fucking life.
Yeah.
That was the scariest thing I've ever... That's the scariest.
Sorry. Really? Yeah, it's pretty scary.
I'm not going to be able to sleep. I'm actually, like, not going to be able to sleep tonight.
Yeah. I know.
Oh my god.
I know, it's a really spooky, oogie one. I think I'm yeah. a little immune to it because I watched too many Hinsdale House ones, and I watched the 2-hour video, and I did research, and I had to write it out, and now I'm telling it to you again, and I'm kind of like, yeah, yeah.
You're like, yeah, it's there, it happened.
It's there, it happened. Ghosts and stuff.
Yeah, ghosts and stuff.
But I'm so glad I don't live there.
Me too.
This is why I really feel like if you're going to buy a house, you should be able to, like, test it out.
Like, sleep there for a night or two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I need that. I think whenever I decide to buy a house, if I ever can in the future, mm-hmm. I'm bringing a medium with me.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Because I just... Yeah, I don't want to play that fucking game.
Yeah, me either.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Don't listen to this at night.
Don't listen to the story at night. If you have any questions, comments, critiques, criticisms, concerns, you can email us at...
ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com.
You can find us on Instagram at...
ghoulsocietypod.
You can follow Sarah on TikTok at...
ghoul.societypod.
And what else do I usually say? Oh, well, I was going to say October 25th, we will be live at the YYJ Halloween Market.
Yeah.
For early bat shopping hour.
I don't even know if there's any tickets left. So ooh. You guys might be a little bit too late on that.
It's just a little too late, a little yeah. too long, and I can't wait.
Yeah, and we're going to dress up.
And we're going to have a spooky story.
And it's going to be super fun.
And then...
And leave us a review, please, because it will push our... content to more people.
That's right. And you can find like, each review, episode's subscribe. Description in the description. Sorry, what a yeah. Oh, all yes, I remember. Yes, the resources.
And the source. And trigger warnings.
And trigger warnings in each episode's description. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Bye. Gonna let Sarah rummage around in her bag. She faced her mic directly toward it. No, I kind of liked the ASMR. This part's going in the bloopies. Yay!
Dinner time!
It didn't turn out quite as good as I wanted.
It looks delicious.
The potatoes are wrong. That's mayonnaise, by the way. Thank Do you want avocado?
Yeah.
Okay.
Me too. I like avo on my...
Oh my god. I hate avocado. No, I don't ever want it.
What? No, I like it on that.
You hate avocado?